was just waiting for it to be 5:30, but you looked as though you were getting ready to start.
No, I'm not. I'm just trying to see if this never balances on there.
But it doesn't fit.
No. Can you manage without there?
Yes, well, I've got
Do you need the space?
No, I've got a reading. Yeah.
Are people going to read from that, do you think?
Yes,
or?
Yeah, I can manage it.
Oh, help yourself. Shall I go out and come back in?
Do you feel like going out and not coming back in?
Don't. I've had thoughts like that for a while. You know, along the lines of, is it time I gave up preaching?
You've been here.
It's because we had Action for Children, which Ros didn't want to do.
Yeah. And then there was the harvest.
And then the harvest that was flat.
That wasn't anything to do with your service. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that.
No, I don't mind you saying it, because I know where it came from. But the point is, it should have been, we should have advertised it better.
I think what they were doing was they were comparing it with when we used to have the uniformed organisations and it used to be full.
Yeah, well, years ago it was when non-Christians came to church.
Yeah, exactly. So this is what it's been compared with. So that's what they need to do with the old.
Well, the older the congregation gets, the more comparisons they're going to do with the past. Because they can remember further back than... I had somebody last week criticise a carol service that we did a few years ago. I didn't say anything, but it was the carol service I did. Do you remember a few years ago when all we had was readings and carols and nothing else? It was terrible.
I thought that's what a carol service was.
Yeah, so it's a mix this morning, because so many people have said, oh, I don't want that, and you can't do that.
You can't please everybody.
No. I'm glad John hasn't turned his mic on yet.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to you all on this fourth Sunday of Advent. Before we start, can I make an apology? Because one of our boilers is broken. So apparently we usually have two boilers and one isn't working and we need to order a spare part, which probably won't come until January. There's a chance it might come before then, so please be warned. And if you come to church again between now and January, please come dressed for cold weather. We're trying to manage with one. So, I mean, I feel quite warm. I've got my coat on, but just bear that in mind when you come again.
The same for the film club. Please come with a warm coat.
Yes, yeah. So anytime you come to this building for the next couple of weeks, be prepared for it to be cold. So John has tried to do his best. And he's adjusted the one boiler that we've got running. But, you know, there are limitations with that, obviously. I have a couple of sad announcements, I'm afraid. Rosemary Waters, who was living at Woodlands, who I'm sure you will have seen come in her wheelchair, she has unfortunately died. I don't know any more details about the arrangements for that, but I'm sure we will hear in due course. It's also going to be Eileen Bottrell's husband's funeral soon, but again, I don't know any details about that to pass on. I do, however, have a really happy announcement, which is that Linda has a new grandson who will be a brother to Isla and a son of Jennifer and Seth. And he was born last Thursday, and mum and baby are doing well. So I hope we can pass on our congratulations to Linda and Dougie. Just a reminder that there will be tea and coffee after the Christmas morning service, and the Christmas morning service will be at 10 a.m. The service on December the 29th is a circuit service at Macclesfield. And the film club, which is on the Saturday the 28th, if you come, bring your own lunch, and then the film will be Robot and Frank. There won't be any charges, but any money donated will go to our Christmas collections, which are in aid of Water Aid and Just Ice. So I think that's everything. Thank you. So Phil will lead us in worship this morning.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to this refuge from Christmas shopping. Now, I experienced it yesterday, and I can tell you I hate shopping, but never mind. Welcome to worship. Let's have a few moments' silence while we prepare to worship our Lord. As I call to worship, I've taken some words from Micah chapter 5. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will rule over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore Israel will be abandoned till the time when she who is in labor gives birth, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord, his God. And they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace. Amen. So we sing our first hymn, Singing the Faith 178. Long ago, prophets knew Christ would come born a Jew. 178.
Born son of Mary.
Are the children going to come over? We don't want any stampedes. Come gently. Oh, who's got the big cushion? My goodness me. Right, I've got a quick question for you. What's happening on Wednesday next week? What is it? Christmas Day. And what happens on Christmas Day? You get lots of presents. What? Do you know what you're getting? Have you asked for something?
Yes.
What have you asked for?
A skipping rope.
Oh, my goodness me. Right, I bought myself an early Christmas present. Stickman. You've got, a book, right. Had anybody seen the film, Stickman?
Yeah.
Anybody read the book?
Yeah.
Right, well, very quickly, Stickman goes out one day, doesn't he, for a jog. And a dog sees him and thinks, I want that stick, I'll have that stick. So the dog picks him up gently in his mouth and runs around. Then he drops the stick, and a little boy picks it up and starts throwing it for the dog to chase. And in the end, they give up on it. But along come some more children, and they say, oh, that'll be a great poo stick, that. Let's drop it in the river. So they drop Stickman in the river. And all the time he's saying, hang on, I'm Stickman. When he's going down the river, a swan picks him up and makes him part of her nest. And he's going, hang on, I'm Stickman. I'm not an ordinary stick. So as it goes on, he's used for a bow and arrow. He's used as a pen to mark in the sand. All sorts of things are happening to him. All the time he's saying, I'm Stickman. And all the time he's getting further and further away from home. And he's worried that he won't be back in time for Christmas.
And then Santa comes.
You're right, Santa comes. Anyway, Santa is coming down the chimney, isn't he? And he gets stuck. And Stickman is lying in the hearth. And Stickman helps to get him down the chimney.
Yeah.
So Santa says, as a reward, Stickman, I will take you back home as I deliver presents to your children. So he goes all the way back and gets in time, home in time for Christmas. But all the way he was saying, I am Stickman. He had to tell everybody his name. Now, we're here to think about Jesus, especially on Christmas Day, yeah? And Jesus knows each and every one of you by name. And Jesus loves each and every one of you. Please remember always that Jesus loves you. Now, one last quick question. Who was Jesus' mother?
Mary.
And today we're going to spend some time looking at Mary and reflecting on Mary. But before that, we're going to play a song for you.
Jingle bells.
Oh, I'm sorry, it's not jingle bells, no. But if you want to get up and jig, do that, but don't ask me to do it because I've not got an ounce of rhythm in my body. Okay.
Thank you.
before you go to your activities, I want you to make a promise to me. When you finish working, before we finish the service, can you come and show us what you've been doing? Can you promise to do that for me? Okay. Hopefully. I have to say, I got a slight nod from one person, I think. Thank you very much. Thank you. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we know and love the message of Christmas so well, perhaps too well, for we have heard and celebrated it so many times and can imagine we have understood all it has to say to us. Save us from that danger and help us to reflect on what your coming means for us, for others, for all, for yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Speak to us now through readings, through music, through prayer, through your spirit of work within us. Speak through all we share together, nurturing our faith, strengthening our commitment, and expanding our love for you and for all people. In your name, we ask it. Amen. Amen. And the collect for today. God, our Redeemer, you chose the Virgin Mary to be the mother of our Lord and Saviour. Fill us with your grace that in all things we may embrace your holy will and with her rejoice in your salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Can I just ask how many people came last week to church when Graham Edwards was doing... Yeah. So this next team, you've had a practice, because he had it last week as well. So let's hope we do really well. It's Singing the Faith, 173, Into the Darkness of This World, 173.
Thank you.
Could we have our reading from Luke, please?
This reading is from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38, the birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Amen.
Thank you, Christine. Thank you very much. Our next hymn then is Singing the Faith 187, and we're doing the first three verses only. It's "The Angel Gabriel from Heaven Came," 187. It's time for us to light our fourth Advent candle. Jesus said, "Anyone who does what my Father in heaven wants is my brother or sister or mother. We are servants of the Lord. Let it be according to his word." Thank you very much. Jesus is the light of the world, a light no darkness can put out. Thank you very much. As you will know, we've been looking at the book by Paula Gooder, The Women of the Nativity, that book chosen for us for our Advent study. In the book, she's written about 9 different women from the Bible, some well-known, but some completely new to us. On this, the fourth Sunday of Lent, I guess you've gathered it already, our reflections are looking at Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus, but as written by Paula. In this first part, which Hilary's going to read to us, Mary and Joseph are sheltering in an abandoned hut on their way to Bethlehem, not knowing whether there's actually a census or not, but they've decided to go anyway, just in case. Mary is thinking about her childhood and recent events. Thank you.
Tonight, as I sank wearily to the floor in the small abandoned hut that Joseph had found for us on the way to Bethlehem, I thought back about my childhood. I chuckled quietly to myself as Joseph bathed my poor, swollen feet. "Did I tickle?" he asked solicitously. "No," I said. "I was just remembering how, as a child, I wanted to protect myself against what other people thought about me. It seems rather futile now. People have thought so many things about me, about us, over the past few months. The thought I might have any control over it made me chuckle." Joseph paused, leaned over and took my hand. "It has been quite a time, hasn't it? The other day, I heard 2 people talking. One said that I knew that the child was mine, but was pretending it wasn't because I wanted to appear righteous. The other shouted over him and said, 'It was clear you had lain with a Roman soldier and were too afraid to admit it.' They were so angry with each other, they nearly came to blows. It's just as well they didn't notice me behind them." I sighed. If only that was the worst they'd said about us. Do you ever think of walking away from me, from this, from it all? Of course I did. You know that. After the angel, I mean. Joseph smiled in that way of his that meant the corners of his eyes wrinkled. Definitely not. It isn't every day an angel tells you what to do. But you didn't choose this, and neither did you. No, but I did say yes. I thought back to the moment that had changed my life so completely. The day had begun like any other day. The rest of the household was out, going about their usual business. I was at home in the cool, the permanent twilight of our house, half carved into the rock of the hillside. I was idly sweeping the floor. It always felt like a pointless task. Dust settled almost as fast as I could sweep it. Just then, the entire space was filled with light. I jumped in fright. "Rejoice, favoured one," the being had said. I looked around, wondering if there was someone behind me that this thing, full of light, was speaking to. But no one else was there. 1,000 questions filled my mind. Who was this? Why had they come? Were they an angel? I'd never seen one before, so I couldn't be sure. Maybe they were. I wondered how you were meant to address an angel. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the what I presumed to be an angel had said. I was tempted to say that if he didn't want me to be afraid, he shouldn't arrive unannounced in their houses, knowing their names and scaring them witless. And then he told me I was going to bear a son. "I would call him Jesus," he said. Jesus was going to be great and rule like David. It made no sense. How could I be about to have a baby? I was a young girl, not even married yet. When I'd been betrothed to Joseph, my mother had sat me down and explained to me what was expected of a married woman. But the life she described was still before me. Despite what everyone now supposes, at that point I had barely met Joseph, and had not even begun to imagine my future life. So I struggled to understand what the angel might mean. A baby? Me? How could that be? The angel tried to explain, but my brain took nothing more in. At the end, the angel added, almost as an afterthought it seemed, "Nothing will be impossible with God." In that moment, something shifted in me. Nothing will be impossible with God. Suddenly, I was filled with clarity. I knew he was right. Nothing would be impossible. Lots of things would be difficult, but nothing would be impossible. My mouth moved, and I heard a voice that sounded like my own agreeing to it, all of it, unimaginable though it was.
Thank you very much. The story will continue a little bit later. But if you imagine nothing is impossible with God and how Mary responded, it's only fitting that we sing in the faith 186, "Tell out my soul the greatness of the Lord." 186. Could we have our reading from Matthew, please?
Our reading is from Matthew 1, verses 18 to 24. Joseph accepts Jesus as his son. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her from the Holy Spirit, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel and the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. Amen.
Thank you very much, Julie. Thank you. So Joseph appears, doesn't he, to be a very good, a decent human being who is willing to take Mary home as his wife, and obviously then as stepfather to Jesus, to bring Jesus up, teaching him the craft of carpentry and making sure he attended the synagogue. We're going to sing again, Singing the Faith 209. Let me tell you about a baby and his family. 209.
I'm not sure if we all know this one, so... sorry, John, could you just turn this up a bit? Thank you. Not sure if we all know this one, so I've asked David to play it through all the way through.
I did say, yeah, that's it. We're not going to the next bit because we've jumped ahead to Christmas Day. Sorry about that. Absolutely, yeah. So we return to Mary's story as she and Joseph continue their conversation in that abandoned hut.
I looked at Joseph and repeated, "I did say yes." "And so did I," he said. Joseph had told me at the time about an angel who had appeared while he was sleeping. He had come round almost before it was light the next day, and we'd held the simplest of ceremonies before he had taken me back to his house. He hoped that it would save me from the worst of the gossip, but the word had already got out. The whispers of scandal spreading more quickly than even the biting winter wind currently whipping through this abandoned hut could blow. "What will become of us?" I asked him wearily. "I don't even understand why we have to go to Bethlehem at all." "No, I don't either," he said. "I'd heard nothing of a census until Cousin Simeon announced it last week as he passed through. But it seems most sensible to go just in case. And besides, I imagine a break from the gossip might do you good." It would, of course. But I was tired and disheartened, and we still had a long way to go. At that moment, the baby stretched, a foot poking its way outwards just under my rib cage. I pushed it back again, but as I did, a flood of warmth filled my heart. "Nothing will be impossible with God," I whispered, and the baby fluttered a little as though in agreement with me. "I wonder what they'll say about him," I mused, "after he's born. Will they understand here more than they understand us?" "It's unlikely," Joseph answered. "After all, I'm not sure I do." I had to nod in agreement at that. There were moments when I felt I could almost glimpse the edges of what it all meant. When the angel had explained it first in my home, when I saw Cousin Elizabeth in the hill country and a song had burst out of me fully formed. But at other times, the picture faded again. This was a special baby, I knew that. He'd caused enough trouble already for me to know that he was special. But who would he be? Would I understand him? Would anyone else? I placed a hand on my stomach, and Joseph placed his on top of mine. It felt, or maybe I imagined it, that the baby pressed up against our hands. "Nothing will be impossible with God," we said again. "Now all we have to do is believe it to be true," said Joseph. "And get to Bethlehem," I added. "Once we get there, everything will be normal and straightforward," he said reassuringly. The baby trembled beneath my hand. If I didn't know better, I'd have thought he was laughing.
Thank you very much. So imagine the couple on their way to Bethlehem in the abandoned hut that was probably run down. And no doubt there'd be a gale blowing through it, and they'd be quite cold. So it seems fitting that we should sing Singing the Faith 204 in the bleak midwinter. Singing the Faith 204. Sorry. Let us pray. Loving God, the great festival, Christmas, is drawing nearer, and we're busy preparing it for it, choosing presents, writing cards, planning get-togethers, buying food, so much that has become an accepted part of this season. Yet in all the bustle, we so easily forget what matters most, responding to the gift of your Son. Forgive us for relegating Jesus to the periphery of our celebrations, rather than placing him at the centre where he belongs. Forgive us for doing so much to prepare for Christmas on the surface, yet so little to make ourselves ready within. Open our hearts to welcome the living Christ into our lives, and so may we rejoice in his love, not just at Christmas, but always. In his name we ask it. Amen. Hilary is going to sing to us, and in this song, To Mary, we get an insight into the ministry of the adult Christ. The song is Mary, Did You Know? Thank you very much. Mary, did you know your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? The child you delivered will soon deliver you. And of course, Mary was the only human being present at the birth and the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. She also served the Lord. We come to our prayers of intercession. There will be moments of silence where we can bring our own thoughts to God. And there is a response, but sadly I've picked out a huge response. So if you can't manage it, don't worry, I will do it anyway. But when I say come again to your world, the response is, and turn tears into laughter, sorrow into gladness. It's a bit lengthy. Come again to your world and turn tears into laughter, sorrow into gladness. Let us pray. Lord of all, we have heard again the good news of Jesus Christ, the glad tidings of his coming, and we have rejoiced in the wonder of this season. But we pray now for those for whom it brings no joy. It serves only to remind them of their pain. Come again to your world and turn tears into laughter, sorrow into gladness. We pray for the poor, the hungry, the homeless, those for whom this Christmas will simply be another day in the struggle for survival. We pray for those caught up in war, in violence and persecution. We pray for those for whom this Christmas might be their last. Pray for the unloved, the lonely, the homeless, those for whom Christmas merely heightens their sense of isolation. Come again to your world and turn tears into laughter, sorrow into gladness. We pray for the anxious, the troubled and the fearful, those for whom Christmas will be swamped by worries. We pray for the sick, remembering Brenda Oakley, who's poorly in hospital. We pray for the suffering, the broken in body and mind. We pray for those for whom this Christmas means only another day of pain. And we pray for the bereaved. We remember Eileen Bottrell and her family, and we pray for the family of Rosemary Walter, who died very recently. We pray for the divorced, for the estranged, for those whom Christmas brings home the memory of happier times. Come again to your world and turn tears into laughter, sorrow into gladness. Lord of all, you give us a vision through the song of Mary of the way the world ought to be and one day shall be. A world in which you show the strength of your arm and scatter the proud, in which you bring down the powerful and lift up the lowly, in which you fill the hungry with good things and send the rich away empty. A world of justice in which good will triumph, evil be ended, and the meek inherit the earth. Give us confidence to believe that can come and the resolve to make it happen. Stir the hearts of our people everywhere to work in whatever way possible for change, to bring the dawn of your kingdom closer, and so translate that vision into reality. Come again to your world and turn tears into laughter, sorrow into gladness. Let's say together a prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Right, before our final hymn, let's go and have a look at what the children have been doing. Anybody able to show me or tell me what you've been doing? Oh, go on. You've made a snowman. Wow, that's brilliant.
Look what I made.
What have you made? Oh, you made a snowman as well?
Yeah.
Give me the two snowmen in a minute. Can I borrow yours?
No.
The snowman. And then...
this one.
Oh, hang on, we've got three. Here we are, three snowmen. Right, was that yours? That one's yours. Right. And you've done all sorts of colouring. Oh, what's that? Hang on. Got to get round there. Make way for an old man. Oh, what's that one? How did you do that? Is that magic? It's magic. Right, we've got a bauble made here. You did one as well. There's an angel inside. And, oh, both are angels. Two angels, there we go.
Two angels.
So, can I ask you a question? Have you had a good time?
Yeah.
Have you enjoyed what you've been doing?
Yeah.
Brilliant. Well, let me wish you a very happy Christmas. And let's hope you get all that you wish for.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Just a little jog there. A very small jog. Right, our final hymn, and we're going to sing the first five verses, is O Come All Ye Faithful. We could not sing that, could we? O Come All Ye Faithful. Before we have our blessing, can I just say a big thank you to everybody that's helped to make this service work today. Thank you so much. Let us pray. The story of our Lord Jesus Christ began in humble circumstances over 2,000 years ago. He came to save the world from sin, and he calls upon us to show the way to others. Lord Jesus Christ, we look forward to that day when your kingdom shall come and you are all in all. Until then, we'll trust in you, secure in your love, confident in your eternal purpose, assured that your will shall be done. To you be praise and glory, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Let's share the grace with one another before we disappear. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Thank you very much. Thank you.